It's Thursday, April 25th, 2024. This is the Central Illinois News Roundup with Mind's Eye Radio. I'm your host, Wendy Roylands. 58 degrees and sunny across Central Illinois. One more nice day before wet weather. These stories are making headlines. 100 people will be out of a job after an agency loses state money to prevent suicide. New help for Bement, Illinois students hoping to attend Eastern Illinois University. And pro-Palestine protests at the University of Illinois. These stories and more coming up on the Central Illinois News Roundup. Thank you for joining me for the Central Illinois News Roundup with Mind's Eye Radio. Exciting news on the University of Illinois campus as a new school for computing is announced today. The university is establishing the Seibel School of Computing and Data Science. The new department comes after a $50 million grant from Thomas Seibel, an alumnus of the program and the CEO of C3 AI, an enterprise artificial intelligence company used in industries like agribusiness, defense, and manufacturing. We are thrilled to partner with the University of Illinois to establish the Seibel School of Computing and Data Science. By supporting cutting-edge research and fostering innovation, we hope to empower future generations of leaders in technology and society, driving positive change in the world. The school's goal is to advance technological innovations between intersections of computing and data science. The university touts graduates have helped work on computer advancements like the first modern web browser, PayPal, and YouTube. The establishment of the Seibel School of Computing and Data Science exemplifies the University of Illinois' dedication to pushing the boundaries of knowledge and fostering collaborative solution for global challenges, according to Granger College of Engineering Dean Rashid Bashir. This transformative gift will empower our faculty and students to lead the next generation of technological advancements, further solidifying our position as a world-renowned institution. The new school still needs to be approved by the University of Illinois Board of Trustees and the Illinois Board of Higher Education. And on the University of Illinois campus, a researcher says AI is making job searching even more difficult. Some researchers say applying for a job and getting a callback is becoming harder to achieve, but it isn't necessarily because of underqualified applicants. Michael Leroy with the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign says artificial intelligence is shrinking candidate pools. Before, there were human employees who would sift through applications, but with the growth of online job boards and the influx of candidates, artificial intelligence became the easy solution. Now the technology has implicit bias based on the current diversity of a workplace, and that bias is crossing off candidates before they even make it to the first step. If that is in fact how these hiring platforms work, by the time a human being sits down and looks at how the applicant pool has been shaped by the AI platform, you don't get a representative sample of qualified people, according to Leroy. He says more of these cases are reported and tried, the greater awareness for the general public. Leroy is taking his research to a symposium at Notre Dame this Friday. Taking a look now at Central Illinois weather. If we are looking for our next chance for severe weather, it could be some time leading into this weekend and beyond into May, as an active and favorable pattern looks to be evolving. It could allow for one or more rounds of thunderstorms and severe weather to materialize in Central Illinois, as one system could draw in a good amount of Gulf moisture that could allow multiple systems to tap into it. I am keeping an eye on things. In fact, there is a slight risk in Western Illinois, 3 days away from the beginning of the event. Several signals that indicate an increased activity soon, a slight risk draped over the area on Sunday as an active weekend could be in store for us. As one system rolls in towards the end of the week, an additional system may follow up shortly, meaning that the warm and moist air mass will stay in place and allow for more activity, such as potential severe weather. We are a few days away from when this is all projected to take place. Some models are giving the idea that it could be a little busy around here next weekend and beyond. It does bring some concern for runners prepping for a race this weekend in Champaign. Today looks good for last-minute training, but by Friday and Saturday, showers and storms are in the region. Friday looks wetter than Saturday, but both days could have storm potential. So for tomorrow, scattered storms, 80% chance, 67 for the high, 61 for the low. And on Saturday, scattered storms, 40% chance, 78 for the high, 65 for the low. And on Sunday, 81 degrees, 80% chance of afternoon storm, 63 for the low. Trends will trend closer to average in the coming days, but as the storm activity kicks up, so do our temperatures. So for the 7-day forecast, Friday, scattered storms, 80% chance at 67 degrees, low 61. Saturday, scattered storms possible, 40% chance, 78 degrees, low 65. Sunday, as I said, late storms, high of 81 degrees, and that's an 80% chance, 63 degrees for the low on Monday. Look for scattered storms, 50% chance, 74 for the high, 53 degrees for the low. And on Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, 75 degrees, 20% chance of rain, 55 degrees for the low. And on Wednesday, AM storms, morning storms, 40% chance, 80 degrees for the high, 57 degrees for the low. And on Thursday, partly cloudy, 80 degrees, 21% chance of rain. I'm taking a look at the drought monitor. The drought monitor is available every Thursday morning. It includes rainfall amounts from the Tuesday to Tuesday. It's a 7-day window immediately before the drought monitor is released. Even with the rain, we are still in the moderate level. And remember that the drought monitor, this is released on Thursday, today, April 25th. So the rankings would be dry. That would be the least serious, moderate, secondly, serious, severe, extreme, and exceptional. We are in the moderate region. In fact, all of us are in the moderate region. Jacksonville is slightly in the dry region, so doing a little bit better there. Checking into Bloomington, Illinois, 100 people are set to lose their jobs after an agency loses a state grant to prevent suicide. Bloomington's PATH will lose the state grant to run 988 suicide prevention call centers in Central Illinois. Board members from the PATH, P-A-T-H, Crisis Center in Bloomington say they are disappointed and deeply saddened that it did not receive a $9.5 million grant to continue operating Illinois' 988 Suicide and Crisis Prevention Call Center. Close to 100 PATH employees who staff this call center will lose their jobs after state officials chose Southern Illinois-based Centerstone to provide the service instead. Choosing the grant recipient was a competitive process, and the Centerstone was the highest scoring applicant, according to the Illinois Department of Human Services. The Illinois Department of Human Services says its Division of Mental Health was in charge of the selection, and multiple people were involved in scoring applicants. Centerstone is a call center in other states with extensive experience in the 988 system. It serves as a national backup call center. They are also established as a community mental health center in Illinois, providing mobile crisis response services and other behavioral health supports in Southern Illinois. We appreciate PATH's ongoing partnership and look forward to working together on the transition. Illinois Department of Health does not expect any disruption to 988 service for anyone in Illinois during the transition. PATH stands for Personal Assistance Telephone Help. It won the initial contract to run the 988 service in 2022. The Board of Directors released a statement on Wednesday. The Board of Directors is disappointed and deeply saddened that PATH was not selected for the statewide 988 grant. As an organization, it was an honor to fill this vital role for people in need for the past 2 years. PATH's board said the agency continues to support the 211 call center in which people in need can get referrals and information about various social services. PATH also offers services to help the homeless. In education news, a new pipeline has been created to help smooth the way for Bement Illinois High School grads to attend Eastern Illinois University. The Macon-Piatt Regional Office of Education plans to support students as they navigate the college admission process. This is a program that will actually run through the Macon-Piatt Regional Office of Education, and it's a direct admissions partnership program. We are excited that we are going to be able to offer some services to students if they choose to pursue EIU as an option for high school, according to Bement Middle and High School Principal Doug Kepley. The goal of the program is to reverse the rising trend of high school students not pursuing a college education or leaving the state to complete their studies. Starting with the graduating class of 2025, students who are able to maintain a 3.0 GPA through the end of their junior year will be able to take part in the program. Our goal is for students who may have some barriers to start the college application process to remove those barriers. Students are going to be able to have an academic counseling through Eastern. Application fees will be waived, and if they choose to follow through and attend, they will actually receive scholarship money for all 4 years that they attend Eastern Illinois University. Urbana School District Number 116 has agreed to pay $206,301 as part of the settlement for an age discrimination lawsuit. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission said that Urbana School District limited salary increases of Charles Kaplinski and a group of other teachers over the age of 45 because of their age, due to a provision of a collective bargaining agreement between the school district and the union representatives. The Age Discrimination in Employment Act prohibits discrimination because of age against individuals who are age 40 or over, including discriminating with respect to compensation. On November 7, 2023, the Central District of Illinois granted summary judgment to the EEOC, holding that the collective bargaining agreement provision violated the ADEA by limiting compensation of teachers age 45 and older because of their age. In addition, the court ordered the district to pay lost wages to a group of 32 affected teachers whose compensation the district did not dispute had been limited by the collective bargaining agreement provision. The court approved a consent decree resolving the litigation on April 17, 2024. 40 teachers were affected by the collective bargaining agreement provision, and they lost wages. This suit could serve as a lesson to Illinois school districts that they cannot try to limit TRS contributions by capping salary increases for older teachers based on age, according to Gregory Goncor, regional attorney for the EEOC Chicago District Office. Federal law prohibits paying teachers over and under the age of 40 differently based on age, just as it prohibits paying women less than men or paying workers differently based on race or national origin. On the University of Illinois campus, pro-Palestinian student groups walked out of class at the University of Illinois on Wednesday as part of a protest against Israel's war with Hamas. The demonstration, coordinated by Act Now for Palestine, called for the university to divest from companies such as Boeing, Raytheon, and Northrop Grumman, acknowledge the loss of life in Palestine, and create a committee to address Arab and Muslim student affairs. Dema Karim is with Act Now for Palestine and says the group feels the calls for action are extremely reasonable. Jaden Andrews is a Jewish U of I student and said he and his loved ones have had safety concerns given the rise of anti-Semitism in the wake of the conflict in Gaza. Pro-Palestinian protests have swept across the nation in recent months, especially in the Northeast. In-person classes have been canceled at Columbia, and the gates to Harvard Yard were closed to the public on Monday. In London, several of King Charles III's horses dashed through the streets after members of the Household Cavalry lost their mounts, allowing animals to spark chaos as they galloped through rush hour traffic. Several of the king's horses and a few of the king's men sparked chaos on the Capitol streets Wednesday when members of the Household Cavalry lost their mounts, allowing animals to gallop through rush hour traffic, careering into cabs and double-decker buses while being pursued by police over several miles. The upset started earlier in the morning with preparations for Troop the Colour, an annual military parade to mark King Charles III's official birthday in June. The Household Cavalry Mounted Regiment, it's an elite military unit whose well-drilled horses take part in numerous regal events, including coronations. They set out for Hyde Park Barracks for what was called a watering order, where horses trot through London to exercise. According to an army spokesman, things went wrong. A crashing noise caused by building materials falling off a building onto the street startled five of the horses. Four riders were thrown off their mounts, and at about 8:40 a.m., the horses were off. The news that equine members of the Household Cavalry, which styles itself as the trusted guardians of the monarch, had gone rogue, it lit up social media. The BBC fired up a live blog. Bewildered onlookers sent in regular updates on the horse's progress during a ride that stretched from near Buckingham Palace to Limehouse, miles away in East London. One horse collided with a sightseeing bus. Another was reported to have smashed into a Mercedes van. A white horse covered in blood was filmed galloping in the city's West End, and another was spotted at Victoria Station. E-bikes were knocked over in Belgrave Square. Cyclists on their way to work were filmed looking on in horror as horses charged by. About an hour after the stampede began, the horses were rounded up. Two of the five horses suffered injuries that are being assessed. Three riders suffered injuries, but none are life-threatening. Paramedics said four people were taken to the hospital. The ceremony of Trooping the Colour is believed to have been first performed during the reign of King Charles II, who was monarch from 1660 to 1685. The current king's actual birthday is November 14th, but a big parade to mark the British monarch's official birthday is always held in summer, largely because the weather is nicer. And in California, dogs in the justice system, they bring hugs, wags, and controversy. Could courthouse dogs sway a jury? In California's Ventura County, there's a well-dressed regular at the local courthouse, but he's always lying down on the job. A three-year-old black lab named Comet wears a vest and bow tie to court and settles into the witness box before a trial starts. Jurors who could be biased by the dog's presence are none the wiser. Unless Comet snuggled at the testifying witness's feet, nods off. The dog snores and it can get really stressful for us, said Jennifer Barbetti. She works with crime victims in Ventura County District Attorney Office. The witness typically nudges Comet awake before anyone notices. The pack is growing. More than 320 courthouse dogs are working across the U.S., more than triple that of a decade ago. It's part of the nonprofit Courthouse Dog Foundation. Courthouse dogs such as Comet typically work with prosecutors or victim advocates, often are used to comfort witnesses testifying in court or people, particularly alleged crime victims, during law enforcement interviews. You get someone who doesn't want to talk, is street hardened, and wants no part of being in the building, according to Brian Bendish, a prosecutor in New York. Lewis, the 6-year-old Labrador retriever, lives and works with him. He looks on with puppy dog eyes. Lewis comes in and you can feel the change in cooperation. But some defense attorneys are arguing that courtrooms have gone to the dogs. A dog signal to a jury that an alleged victim is sympathetic, needy, or vulnerable, says lawyer Jan Trazen of the Washington Appellate Project. It's a public defender organization. The accused person doesn't get to sit there with props. I love dogs, adds Trazen, whose own mutt Bear was trained at a juvenile detention center. I don't think they belong in courtrooms. How do pooches get summoned for courthouse duty? Experts look for dogs, typically black labs, golden retrievers, or a cross that are emotionally stable and social, even with people they don't know, according to Flora Baird of Canine Companions. It's a nonprofit organization that breeds, trains, and places service dogs. It also adds them to the justice system. Trained to follow more than 40 commands and not bark on the job, these canines are paired with handlers who work in criminal justice and manage a dog as part of their role. For Jason Kramer, a prosecutor in Denver, the process was doggy speed dating. His first match, a Labrador Golden Retriever named Rita. It was a bust. She had me wrapped around her paw, and I wasn't going to be a very good handler, said Kramer. His current partner is Rita's brother, Ryan, who is more receptive to commands. Some regions are more court dog friendly than others, according to O'Neill Stevens of the Courthouse Dog Foundation. Out west, it's much more acceptable. On the East Coast, it is undignified. 9 states have laws explicitly allowing specially trained dogs in courtrooms. In others, including Maine and New York, efforts to pass similar legislation have thus far failed. Some of my colleagues are concerned about fairness, according to State Senator Pam Helming, a Republican who sponsored New York's bill. Helming had visited Juno, a courthouse dog in Ontario County, which is her upstate district. It's not science, but when Juno gives me some kisses, my blood pressure probably dropped a bit. Kids are among the dog's biggest fans. Victim advocate Shannon McFay of the Denver District Attorney's Office says children want to know their favorite color. And they also get to choose neckwear for the office dog, Bodie, from a 50-piece bow tie collection. Fawn Borden in Arkansas taught a dog named Roxy how to play Uno with those who come in for interviews. Adults appreciate a four-legged friend, although handlers learn to ask before bringing the canine variety. Once Borden, who worked with victims, took a dog along to an interview but found the